Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation and technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at chumbacasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Our darling, Ron Darling, joining us, World Series champion, former New York Met, a man who will forever be in our hearts on SNY. Tune in tomorrow to SNY for exclusive Mets pre- and post-game shows as the Mets kick off the 2026 season. Coverage begins at 12 p.m. And then Saturday, Gary, Keith, and Ron are on the call for Mets Pirates at 4:10 only on SNY. Good morning, Ronnie. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Second by a long shot. Most important darling in Queens right now after Dylan Darling.
Yes, that is
exactly.
True.
Yeah, very well put, by the way. Hey, so let's put all the speculation to bed, and then let's get an answer about what happened to the Mets team last year and all the changes that David Stearns was forced to make for this year's team. Was there a problem in the locker room, Ronnie, from your perspective, with last year's team?
Boomer, it wasn't the same, I'll tell you that. 2024 was such a magical year. There was so much joy and, happiness in that clubhouse the year prior with Iglesias and J.D. Martinez and others. So it really was a step off when you saw kind of none of those things happen for the team last year. Now, they started out great, and then they really went in the tank. So when that happens, that can make everyone a little surly. You know that better than anyone, Boomer. But, they certainly didn't have any of that magic they had in 2024 last year.
Yeah, and it seemed to me that it was obvious why it got really bad towards the end, because the arms were worn out and the pitching went right in the toilet. And that's one of those chicken or the egg conversations, is did the pitching go in the toilet and the team morale go down because they didn't like one another, or did the pitching and the losing lead to bad team morale? But really, the biggest problem with the Mets last year is that towards the end, no one could get anybody out.
You're so right, Gio. I mean, and it was the same game over and over and over again. The Mets would score five in the first on the road, and by the third inning, the game was tied. If they were given a lead, they couldn't hold it. If they pitched a good game, the Mets offense wouldn't score. It was Groundhog Day, it seemed like, in the booth each and every day. And I'm sure that wore on the guys as well.
Yeah, major additions. And when I look at these additions, and I've been telling Gio and the fans out there that these additions are not just happenstance. I mean, these are guys that they want, character guys like Simeon and Bo Bichette and Jorge Polanco. I mean, give me your sense of what you've seen from those guys thus far and what kind of difference of a team they're going to be and what fans could look forward to from them.
Well, I think when you're talking about a guy like Marcus Simeon, you're talking about a guy who is a kind of a lunch pail kind of guy. comes to the ballpark every day, is very serious about his job, his craft, and doesn't suffer fools gladly. So there's going to be a real seriousness to what he brings to the clubhouse. I think that's a good thing, a really good thing. I think when you're looking at Bo Bichette, first the talent jumps off the page and what he can do with the bat. You're going to get a guy who is one of the best contact hitters in all of baseball. Playing third base, that'll be a work in progress. We'll see how that goes. But one of the best bats in the game. And, you know, I mean, David Stearns didn't have to get rid of all those guys, but he chose to. And I kind of think, why do I think he did that? Well, when you think of the Mets, they talked a lot about, and I think most teams are like this, of emulating the Dodgers, who have become so good, right? And over the time that Pete Alonso was in the major leagues, 2019 on, the Mets played in 16 postseason games. Now, it's the easiest to get in the postseason now of any time in baseball's history. 16 postseason games, the Dodgers played in 75. The Mets' record in those 16, 8-8, the Dodgers 46-29. So there is quite a gap if they want to catch those Dodgers.
We heard a lot from David Stearns as we talked to Ron Darling this morning on The Fan and CBS Sports Network about run prevention. And I certainly believe that up the middle, this team has elite defense. But there's other questions where you're playing guys out of position and guys that weren't even that great defensively last year, like a Bo Bichette moving to third base, and then two guys who first base isn't their first position either. So do you believe that the run prevention question was solved by David Stearns in this offseason?
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
It's a good question. I think that when run prevention is looked at, first people look at defense. Well, run prevention starts with the guys on the mound. So think of it this way. The run prevention is already better. Why? Because Peralta and McLean are in the rotation. They strike out the world. So guys who strike out people and not a lot of ball that is contacted or put into play, already your run prevention is better with those first two guys. So that's going to be the biggest part of it. Does the 3, 4, 5 guys, Senga and the people behind them, how well they pitch will probably, you'll see how run prevention and defense plays with those starters more than you will with McLean and Peralta.
You know, Ronnie, here's a $700 million question for you. 2 years ago, I saw Juan Soto wearing Yankee pinstripes, and he looked like he was just having the time of his life with Aaron Judge and the Yankee fan and the Yankee uniform. He comes here last year. I don't see that joy in him. It's the body language is not the same. And then I watch him in the World Baseball Classic. I mean, he loved every minute of that and the joy that the Dominican team brought to baseball. Are we going to see which Juan Soto do we expect to see for the Mets?
Boomer, I think you're going to see the second one. And I think that my word for him in the first year in a Mets uniform is just he seemed overly cautious. You know, like he didn't want to say the wrong thing. He didn't want to do the wrong thing. All of those things. He was overly conservative and cautious in my estimation. And that's not the best Juan Soto, although boy, he played so great last year, especially finished so strongly. But I think an unfettered, full personality Juan Soto will be much better to not only play, but also to watch for us fans.
Our belief, Boomer and I, when looking at the offseason, that Edwin Diaz didn't want to come back here and was going to go to the Dodgers no matter what. When you look at that situation, Edwin Diaz leaving, Do you believe that the Mets fumbled that, or do you, are you with us that Edwin Diaz was not coming back?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you guys. One of the things that was not looked at is that Edwin Diaz's younger brother was with the Dodgers for a good portion of the season in 2025. So I think that Edwin probably had a good scouting report on not only how great the Dodgers are, that's obvious, but kind of what it's like to play in that uniform. So that probably gave him a good insight into it. But I don't think the Mets got played. I don't think Edwin Diaz got played. I think what happened is the Dodgers are such a juggernaut, they probably told Diaz, hey, listen, you've got a 24-hour offer here, and please don't shop it. You either sign with us or we're taking it off the table. And I think that's kind of what happened to him and why he, you know, probably didn't go back to the Mets one more time. So I don't think anyone got played. I just think the Dodgers right now are working at a pretty high level.
Yeah, we were talking this morning about David Stearns kind of having to pivot to go to Plan B and signing Devin Williams before all this went down, because I think he knew that the Dodgers were going to pounce. So I can't sit here and blame David Stearns for losing him. But the one thing I will say, David Stearns is turned over this roster, and he's going to give two young guys a huge shot. That's Carson Benj in the outfield, and of course it's Nolan McLain. What did you take from Nolan's performance in the World Baseball Classic?
Well, I was lucky enough, Boomer, to be at the final and watch him pitch from real close. And he's got, you know, I don't know what it is, you know, but he's got it in spades. The way he walked on the mound and off the mound, it's such a young pitcher with little experience pitching in the WBC, was something to behold. His body language was that of a 5, 6, 7, 10-year veteran. So that just speaks to, if he's healthy, he's going to be one of the great ones. It's simple as that. His pitches are just that good. And as far as Carson Benj is concerned, I mean, I don't know about you guys. I get so excited when you get an everyday player who gets a chance to start with the ball club. And when I watch him play, the only comp that I see when I watch him is Jackson Merrill, the center fielder for the San Diego Padres. He reminds me so much of that player. You know, good power, unbelievable contact rate, great defensive player. If he has that kind of year like Merrill did in his rookie year, the Mets are on their way.
Ron Darling, of course, of SNY. Another year with Gary, Keith, and Ron kicks off on Saturday. Mets Pirates 4:10 only on SNY. And you can tune into SNY for exclusive Mets pre- and post-game shows as the Mets kick off the 2026 season. Something that I don't believe has been talked about a lot is the changeover in coaching staff under Carlos Mendoza. And I'm a Carlos Mendoza fan. I did not want him fired after the disaster to end last year. But David Stearns goes and takes a guy out of another organization in Kai Correa, who is a very young guy who is, if you look at his background, extremely analytical. If I were Carlos Mendoza, I'd be like, oh man, like this is an interesting thing. How do you think that dynamic is going to work?
Well, I'm with you guys. I'm a big Mendoza fan. The first year, of course, keeping that steady hand when they got off to that rough start was really impressive. Last year, not so impressive as far as the team's concerned, but I'm a big fan of Carlos and what he brings. It's interesting that the organization decided to not only change so many players, but also to really redo their entire coaching staff and bring in people that are quite different than the people they had there before. I think it just speaks volumes to how important analytics and information are to this organization, or to David Stearns and the baseball operations people. So that is the people you're going to see as far as long as Stearns is there. And now they're under Mendoza. I think the hardest part is not the coaches and the players. They'll get along fine. Players are used to changing in coaches. It's just all of those coaches all getting on the same page underneath Carlos Mendoza. I always think that takes time, but I'm sure they'll figure it out.
Hey, coaches and players both. And here's one player that, and this is my final question, and I'm as frustrated as anybody for this guy. And I think most Met fans will tell you how frustrated they are, because he came in with such high hopes and it's been really, really like start and stop. And that's Kodai Senga. I mean, how much patience do you think they're going to have with him? And Do you think that, you know, he's a long-term solution here, or is he still going to be this problem that's going to be so frustrating to all of us?
I don't think they're going to have a lot of patience, Boomer. Yeah. I think, you know, what has happened is that he had such a great rookie year that he didn't mind making a lot of decisions that kind of put him to the forefront, and other people had to kind of maneuver around. I'm talking about the pitching staff, because he needed to go every sixth day. Well, the only time you're afforded that luxury is if you're really good. And if he's not very good early, you know, they're not going to have a lot of patience with him. But for the Mets to be, to get to that next level, he's got to be good. He's got to have a good year and pitch close to what he did in his first year.
Before we let you go, I wanted to get your take on the Yankees, who open up their season tonight. Obviously, an extremely quiet offseason. Just three guys who weren't on the team last year on this opening day roster. Did Brian Cashman do what he was supposed to do this offseason and put this team in a position to be better than they were last year?
Oh, I think they're going to be better. I think they're going to get the best reinforcements any team is going to get sprinkled throughout the year with Rodon and Cole and others. I think they are, you know, one of the best teams in the game. I think they walked it back because they do what other teams are trying to do. They win 95 games each and every year. So I know that for the Yankee fan, and you know that it's either World Series win or bust. And the way the format is now in postseason, it makes that very difficult, although the Dodgers have figured it out. I like their team. I like their team a lot. They're going to be a 90 to 100 win team. And like I said, they're going to get better as the season goes along.
Tune in tomorrow to SNY, exclusive Mets pre- and post-game shows as the season kicks off. And, of course, you've got Saturday, another year, Gary, Keith, and Ron all together on the call. It starts Saturday, 4:10, Mets Pirates only on SNY. Thanks, as always, Ronnie, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for the questions, guys. Take care.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.